I want to start with just a word of prayer. God of grace, I ask you to be with us as I speak. Help me to make my words clear, and where they are not so clear, give us all understanding as we hear the words. Amen. I want to talk to you today about the concept of white privilege. Now, this is in line with the recent series of sermons that Pastor John has been preaching on the topic of racism. And I want to share with you my understanding of what white privilege is and why it's relevant to me as a Christian. Before going any further, let me offer some definitions. So by privilege, I mean a benefit or benefits that some people enjoy and that others do not have easy access to. So if everyone has equal access to the benefit, we don't think of it as a privilege. Now, by white privilege, I mean benefits that certain people enjoy just because they're white, while Black, Indigenous, and people of color do not enjoy them. So now I know that not everyone believes that there is such a thing as white privilege. After all, isn't it our claim as Americans that we live in a free society where opportunity is available to everyone? And one of the ideas of our culture is that anyone with enough gumption can rise from obscurity and poverty to fame and fortune if they choose. And we look at ourselves and our community, and we know that we have worked hard for what we have, and none of us has lived the life of the idle rich. I have to admit that the hardest thing about the concept of white privilege is that I don't feel that I enjoy any special privilege versus other people, even people of color. I mean, I just don't feel it. I know I'm not alone in feeling this way. In fact, I have heard it argued that not only is there no such thing as white privilege, but in fact, there is Black privilege. And people who argue this point to things like affirmative action and practices in college admission and hiring that seem to give advantages to minorities. But the bottom line is that I don't walk around and I don't feel like I walk around every day being treated better than anyone else. Now, I've read a lot of stuff about racism, including discussions of white privilege. But, you know, just hearing academic arguments isn't always helpful or convincing. And that's why I want to share with you some insights that I had recently. So I want to leave the topic of white privilege for a bit and talk about something else. Now, 4 years ago, Lori and I moved to this neighborhood from our home in Pennsylvania. And we began attending Wargriver Mennonite Church regularly. And you all embraced us and you made us feel welcome. We were invited to Sunday school events and other types of participation in the life of our congregation. It wasn't long before I was asked if I would be willing to lead congregational singing during worship. And soon after that, I was asked to serve on the worship commission. People listened to me. They took seriously my suggestions about various things, like setting up more effective communications tools by way of the Google Groups. And you know, all of this kind of puzzled me. Yes, I know that I'm a reasonably friendly guy and everything, but I expected it would take longer for me coming in as an outsider to earn the level of trust that I was afforded in such a tight-knit community as this. You might be surprised that I use the term outsider. Yes, my mother grew up in this congregation, but I myself did not. As a very young child, I was briefly here until the age of 3. And at that time, my parents My family moved to Jamaica, where my parents served under the mission board. There were times when we did come back to the Denby area for visits, but these were not for very long. And most of my strong connections were with my mom's family, the Yoders. I returned from Jamaica permanently when I was 16 years old, and I began affiliating with Huntington Mennonite at that time. So not Warwick River. I spent a year attending Eastern Mennonite High School, and then I worked for a year in Williamsburg while our family lived on Lucas Creek Road. But then after that, I went away to college at Eastern Mennonite and then Virginia Tech. My parents moved away from Denby to Williamsburg during that time. After graduating from college in 1981, I went to live in the Wilmington, Delaware area, and I was there until we moved here in 2017. Now, I'm giving you all this history because I want to show that although I did have connections to the Mennonite community in Denby, very few people in this church actually knew me well on a personal level when we arrived 4 years ago. So in spite of being in reality a stranger to this congregation, you never treated me as such. In fact, I discovered a couple of years ago that I felt like more of an insider in this congregation than some of the members who have been here a very long time. And as I said, this puzzled me. And so I began to focus my thoughts on it. And then this is when I realized that I had Warwick River Mennonite privilege. And what's that, you might ask? Well, let's consider what qualifications a relative stranger would have to make it easy for them to just slide right into this church. And does Don Brunk have these qualifications? Okay, full-blooded ethnic Mennonite, check. I'm Brunk on one side and Yoder on the other. Historical ties to this community, check. It's the home church of my mother and my grandparents. Has relatives in the congregation, check. Sings four-part harmony, check. Talks like a Mennonite, check. Knows who's related to who, check. Well, more or less. Lives in the colony, check. Went to a Mennonite school, check. Knows who Conrad Grable and Felix Mons and all those guys are, check. Likes shoe fly pie, double check. I could go on. But I think you get what I'm driving at, because I have all these qualifications, and I put that term in quotes. I automatically have certain privileges and advantages, and I'm calling them Warwick River Mennonite privilege. What are these privileges? They're the privilege of your friendship, the privilege of your support, the privilege of your love, the privilege of your trust. The privilege to offer you my gifts, and the privilege of having you accept them. Due to my ethnicity and background, this church finds it easy to integrate me into its life. And I find it easy to relate to you all. I don't worry that I might not say or act the right way. I feel comfortable. And the funny thing about this Warwick River Mennonite privilege is that it doesn't particularly feel like privilege at all. It just feels like how things should be, like normalcy. Normalcy. Normalcy is such a loaded word because what seems normal for me is not what's normal for others. And the way I experience the Warwick River Mennonite Church is not exactly the same as how others experience it. And to understand this, I want to do a thought experiment. I want to try to imagine what my experience of coming to this church would be like if I were exactly the same friendly guy, but I lacked some of the qualifications that I listed earlier? What if I had not grown up going to church? What if I was from New Jersey? What if I brought strange food to the potluck? What if my name was Jamal Watkins? And what if I had an African-American manner of speaking? Would Jamal Watkins be extended the same friendship, love, support, and trust of the Warwick River Mennonite congregation as readily as Don Brunk? And if not, then you may have to conclude that Jamal Watkins does not have Warwick River Mennonite privilege. So how should I feel about my Warwick River Mennonite privilege? Should I feel bad about it? Should I feel guilty? Absolutely not. I should not feel bad about your wonderful welcome for me. But now that I'm aware of this dynamic, it is my responsibility to do my part to make any outsider feel as welcome. And I should work to eliminate my privilege, not by making the benefit go away, by making it available to all so that it is no longer a special privilege for Don Brunk, but part of the normal experience of everyone. Everybody still with me? Because I'm going to switch gears a little bit and look at the scriptures that James and Samantha read for us. So in the Philippians 3 passage, the Apostle Paul is reacting to certain people who are asserting that in order to have full access to God's salvation, you had to follow certain Jewish religious practices. It was as if they were saying that you had to have Jewish privilege to be included in the Christian community. And Paul says, okay, you want to know about Jewish privilege? Then just look at me. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew, if ever there was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Some translations use the phrase, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Now, if Paul were a Mennonite, he might have said, I was baptized into the Mennonite church. My ancestors are Mennonite, Yoder on one side and Brunk on the other. I went to Eastern Mennonite High School and college. I did service work with MDS. I followed all the teachings outlined in the faith and practice of the Mennonite church. I was a Mennonite's Mennonite. Paul's listing all of his qualifications, the things that would automatically entitle him to Jewish privilege. And what does he say about these qualifications? He says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. First of all, I want to be clear about what I think Paul is not saying. He is not saying that his ancestry and his efforts to be sincere about his beliefs were bad or shameful. What I think he's saying is that they are worthless as qualifications that might give him any special entitlement to God's grace through Jesus. And as Pastor John has been telling us, Paul is very consistent about this throughout his writings. So looking at the passage from Galatians 3, which says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ," like putting on new clothes. "There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." So when it comes to Christ's kingdom, there is no such thing as Jewish privilege, says Paul, or Mennonite privilege, or any kind of privilege for that matter. We are all entitled to full participation in God's community. And this is the good news. Okay, as I said at the beginning, I want to talk about white privilege. So now I'm going to return to that topic. I said it was a hard concept to come to grips with personally, because I don't usually feel that as a white person I'm enjoying any special benefits. The way our society treats me just feels normal, and I feel pretty comfortable navigating my way through the world. What's helped me understand my white privilege is my understanding of my Warwick River Mennonite privilege. They're not the same, but there are similarities in the way they operate. For example, I don't think that people in this church would be wary of my motives or intentions if I were to suggest some kind of change that I thought would benefit the congregation. And I don't think that if I were shopping, the store manager would be worried that I was trying to steal something. However, the experience of many Black people, especially Black males, is that they are often singled out and followed by security people when they shop. If that were to happen to me, I would find it insulting and degrading. Okay, if a tornado were to throw a tree branch through one of my windows, I know that people here would be more than willing to help. If a hurricane went through this area, wealthy white people would likely get more assistance from FEMA than low-income minorities, according to recent news reports. If I were a poor survivor of a disaster that destroyed my home, and I saw rich people getting cash to rebuild and repair while I sank deeper into poverty, I think I would be pretty frustrated and disheartened. Being free to shop without suspicion and having full access to federal disaster assistance are just two examples of white privilege. There are many, many more, and I could go into much more detail, but I won't. I won't, because my primary goal has been to share a fuller understanding of white privilege by drawing parallels with what I am somewhat tongue-in-cheekily calling Warwick River Mennonite privilege. But why should we, as white Christians, be concerned about white privilege? Remember, it's only called privilege because non-whites have less access to many benefits of our society than white people. And this results in harm in many ways. Lower levels of wealth, education, and health, and higher levels of stress, incarceration, and family instability, just to name a few. God calls us to exercise kindness and justice. God calls us to preach the good news of equal access by all to the benefits of salvation. God calls us to seek first the kingdom of God, where no one has privileges that others do not enjoy.